Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon.
I know technically it's not afternoon, it's morning. We're almost there, but it's good to start off that way. Thank you for that very beautiful, special music. It's interesting. I was planning on coming to the feast, and Mr. Dobson called and said, "Todd, with your skills and ability, we have to have you on the stage this feast." And I thought, wow, he must think I'm a wonderful speaker. And he said, "Can you please be part of the stage crew and set up the stage?" And I have those abilities. At least I used to when I was younger. So I immediately drafted several men in their 20s. And it's been a great feast. We have our little stage setup family. And that's wonderful. I have a quick question, because when I speak, I do like to have audience involvement, but don't be nervous. I tend to ask questions and have people raise their hands. How many of you don't like it when a speaker asks you to raise your hand? All right. Thank you for participating. I'm glad. Now that we've broken the ice, I don't have to worry about later offending anyone. The last time I was here was 5 years ago. And interestingly enough, Mr. Tony Wasilkoff was here 5 years ago as well, the last time he was here. And when I met him in the aisle today, after he got my hug count, where I was at today, he reminded me of what the title of my sermon was 5 years ago. So what an amazing memory Mr. Wasilkoff has. It made it quite fun. Well, I'm going to start off with a question today. What do you think of when you hear the word mighty? Mighty. For some of us that are a little older, does a vision of a mouse come into your mind? "Here I come to save the day." Which also shows you why I will never be on Presley's stage singing. Some people remember Mighty Mouse? Yep. Well, for me, it's Mighty Mo. Mighty Mo. Now, some of you may know what Mighty Mo is, some of you may not. For me, when I first left Ambassador College, I was hired with the Ambassador Foundation. And on my first trip to Amman, Jordan, we ate at the Marriott there. And there was a hamburger there with three levels of beef and a special sauce. And I was 25 years old, and it was delicious. And it was called the Mighty Mo. And I've kept that name in my mind my entire life. Mighty Mo. Delicious hamburger. I've never had one since. I wish I would have gotten that recipe, to be honest with you. But unfortunately, that was 30 years ago. 30. I can't believe it. We're here to celebrate a time when God is going to be doing a mighty work. After the tribulation, we're here to celebrate, and our hope pointing to the millennium, which is the beginning of the mighty things God will be doing for every single person on the face of this earth. One of my favorite verses which speaks about this time is in Habakkuk, and it's similar to the verse in Isaiah, and that verse says, "The earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Now, we all are planning on being there together to see many others that we love. But what about today? We're thinking about that mighty time in the future, but what about today? Now, this is the first time I want to ask, and be honest with me, how many of us in the audience feel mighty today? Do we have any mighty folks feeling mighty out there today? I got a couple three. Write them down for the stage crew. We need some mighty people up here. Mighty tired. I love that one. I'm waiting for mighty hungry. We all will be soon, right? All the seniors are waiting for lunch. They'll be like, "Hey, let's go. I'm mighty hungry." How many of us don't feel mighty today? Let's do that. Let's get a little, yep, I'm got my hand up here too. And that's okay. That's okay that we don't feel mighty. Why do I say that? Let's look what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians. Please turn with me over to 1 Corinthians 1. And I'm old school for a couple reasons. One is I have a large print Bible so I can read it. The other is, I like to turn to the scriptures, because if I have them up here on my computer, for those of you that don't have a computer, I'm going too fast. So I'll go ahead and turn to the scriptures. But in 1 Corinthians 1, we're going to read a scripture probably many of us have heard many times, and we've sang many times in our hymnal. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, and not many noble are called. Verse 27. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things that are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. Now, we don't have to take this personally. This isn't an insult to our character or who we are. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. So right there, God says, I didn't call folks that are mighty physically or noble physically or geniuses physically. But I have a question for us. Is that a free pass for us to just kick back on the couch, show up to Sabbath services, and wait for our chance to be spirit beings so we can finally do mighty things for God? Is that what this scripture means? Let's read on. Let's read on. Verse 29. That no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him you, that's us, are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That as it is written, verse 31, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. So Paul finishes this up. He's telling us here, God didn't call us because we're all that in a bag of chips. God wants us to come to him and be open to him and learn from him, because he can do mighty things through us, so that we don't glory, but when mighty things are being done through us, God gets the glory. Turn with me over, please, to Isaiah 40, verses 28 and 29. Isaiah 40, verses 28 and 29. It talks a lot about how God goes about this, and this is a very inspirational scripture. Because as Mr. Dobson pointed out, some of us are at the hill, some of us are at the top of the hill, and some of us have gone over the hill a little bit, right, in our experience in life. I'm 55 years old. I'll be 56 in November. I appreciate that Mr. Dobson said I was young. I remember coming to Presley's Theater when I was 14 years old on a YOU trip, and Herkimer was performing here. And the hot song way back then was a song by Juice Newton called Playing with the Queen of Hearts. In this very theater, never dreaming I'd be up on the stage with Herkimer. I told my wife I may need to wear a ball cap sideways up here for the sermon today just for the ambience, but she said, don't you dare. So that didn't happen. Let's read Isaiah 40, verses 28 and 29, because we want to be thinking about what God wants to do with us. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. Well, how can I do something mighty? What does it say in verse 29? He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. So with the rest of the time of our sermon today, let's review how God does mighty things through his people to prepare us for the millennium and beyond. And as we're reading this, let's think about what can we be doing today, tomorrow, as we go home, given the confines that we have of our age and health, whether we're young and whether we're old, God wants to do mighty things through us. So we're going to start with a story. There's great stories in the Bible. And I'll put in a little plug. We're going to have a Bible talk on Sunday after services. And the title of it is Storytelling, because we're going to see how valuable storytelling is in the Bible. And then ask ourselves the question, it's going to be interactive, how can we be better storytellers and share the truth of God with other people? So we're going to read a story, And let's turn to Judges 6. I toyed with using the story of Sarah and Abraham, because Sarah ended up having a baby when she was 90 years old, right? I didn't think I'd get a lot of buy-in from the audience asking if we wanted to do something mighty in that way. So I picked a different story. Judges 6. I won't ask for a raising of hands what husband and wife tandem would like to have a new baby at the age of 90. I don't think I'd get a lot of hands raised there, but that's an interesting thing to think about for Abraham and for Sarah. We're going to read about the story of Gideon. And for those that like to follow around and read a story, this is a great one to read. So we're going to start in Judges 6. We're going to skip a bit for time, but we'll get exactly what's happening in the story. So starting in Judges 6, we're going to start in verse 1. And it starts out, there's a lot of stories that start this way in the Bible. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. Here we go. Israel is doing something wrong. Well, what would we as human beings typically do when we know God's truth, but we've made mistakes and done something wrong? Let's jump down to verse 7. And it came to pass when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord because of the Midianites. So, children of Israel, just like we are, we make a mistake, we get pulled away from God, and we cry out to our Father. As the sermonette said, because we fear him, but also because we know his love is there. Think about that. Israel always knew that they could cry out to God. So let's go up to verse 10, move the story along. And God is responding. He says, also I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not fear the gods of the Amorites. That's unhealthy fear, in whose land you dwell. But you have not obeyed my voice. So God says, I'm always here. Obey me, and we'll move forward. So now we're going to start our story. And when we're talking about Gideon, put yourself in Gideon's shoes. Have you ever been in this space in your life? So we'll start in verse 11. Now the angel of the Lord came out and sat under a tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash. I'll skip along through the names. While his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. So what do we know about Gideon? He's threshing wheat, but he's so afraid of what's going to happen around him, he's hiding in the winepress. Does Gideon sound like a real proud, chest-thumping, courageous gentleman? How many think Gideon sounds real proud and chest-thumping? Smart. He's threshing in the winepress. But he's hiding. Let's read on. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. How would you respond if an angel appeared and said that to you? I thought I was in this wine press alone. There was an old television show called Different Strokes. There's a little actor on there. He used to say, what you talking about, Willis? When he talked to his brother. I'm sure Gideon was thinking, wait, what? Me? Let's read on. What did he say? But before we go, think about this. The angel of the Lord called Gideon a mighty man of valor. And for those of us in the audience, a mighty woman of valor. Why is he able to do that? Write down in your notes, Romans 4, verse 17. For those of you who like to jump over, if you can. That's where in the Bible we're told God calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Our Father in heaven knows where each and every one of you will be serving. He has a plan. And you know what's amazing about God's plan for all of us? It's flexible. There's no limit to what we can do with God. There's only one human being or one being that can limit what I can do with God. Who do we all think it is? Right? The only thing that can limit us with God is us. God may see me doing this in the future. God may see me doing that. God may see me setting up stages in the future. All my job is to have faith and walk through the door. and see where God leads me. Now, as human beings, sometimes we don't have that faith. Sometimes we're scared. Sometimes we're nervous. That doesn't stop God. He says, okay, I had this plan for Todd. He's not quite there yet. Now I got this plan for Todd. God has plans for us, no matter where we are and what we're doing. Let's read on. What happened with Gideon? It picks up pace. Verse 14, the Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? And Gideon said to him, oh, my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. Gideon saying, God, do you need glasses? I'm hiding in the wine press. God, I'm 78 years old and need a walker. God, I am exhausted mentally and physically. I can't even see. I have to have a wide print Bible. And I'm squinting up here as I'm speaking to you. Don't you know what I can do, God? Don't you see it? Let's keep reading. Verse 16, and the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. And then he said to him, if now I found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who talk with me. So let's give kudos to Gideon. Smart guy. Okay, if you're really God, I'm going to need a little proof. Because you, by their fruits, you will know them. We don't run after every preacher we hear. Oh, that's a great idea. That's something new. No. We test. So here's what Gideon says. Now, this is where Gideon, he pushes the Lord a little bit. In verse 18, he says, do not depart from here, I pray, until I come to you and bring out an offering and set it before you. And the angel of the Lord said, I'll wait. Now, here's the neat thing. We're not going to read all through it, but in the scripture, Gideon goes, finds an animal, kills the animal, cleans the animal, dresses the animal, cooks the animal, and then comes back with the offering. How long did that take? I don't know. I'm not a butcher. I grew up on a farm and butchered chickens. That took a while. And he comes back, and you know what the angel of the Lord did? Set it on the offer, held out his staff, poof, fire appears, the offer's taken. Then it says the angel of the Lord is not there for a moment. So Gideon's like, whoa. And the miracle happens in verse 24. So Gideon built the altar to the Lord and called it, the Lord is peace. And to this day, it is still in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. So Gideon built an altar after that. He was all in. So now verse 25, we keep moving the story forward. He gets told to do something. He's told, now it came to pass the same night that the Lord said to him, take your father's young bull, the second bull of the 7 years old, and tear down the altar of Baal that your father has, cut down the wooden image that is beside it, build an altar to the Lord, and sacrifice with that. And it's interesting because he says, offer your sacrifice with the wood of the image of Baal that you will cut down. That's pretty brave. And Gideon just saw this offering happen, right? He's convinced this is God. So Gideon storms right out there, cuts that thing down in broad daylight, and offers up that bull to show God's in charge, right? Is that what Gideon did? Let's read verse 27. So Gideon took 10 men from among his servants and did as the Lord had said to him, but because he feared his father's household and the men of the city too much to do it in the day, he did it by night. Are any of us nervous to follow God? Are any of us nervous to step up in big things or in little things? Let's just think about little things in our life. Todd, can you do me a favor and do a closing prayer at services today? Oh, I couldn't do that. No, I get way too emotional when I pray. Now, I'm not mocking anyone. I'm afraid to do that. I can't help. Can you lead a women's fellowship topic? We're having women's fellowship, and we really need to spread it out and have people. We want different perspectives. Ooh, you're asking a lot of me. That's not something I'm comfortable with. Can we sign some cards for those that are shut in? We'll have them on the table. Someone put cards on the table right over here. It's been 40 hours. I haven't hiked my little fanny over there and signed any cards yet. I'm pretty busy on the stage. These are just small things. But there's opportunities to serve God in our life at all times. Do we allow fear or excuses to stop us from doing things? But Gideon did do what God asked him to do. And the beauty of what happened was when the men of the city figured out Gideon did it and they wanted to go and make Gideon pay, Gideon's father said, "What's your rush? What's your hassle? If Baal is the god you think he is, he'll deal with Gideon. Just calm down. Don't worry about it." And nothing happened to Gideon. God was with him. So what happens next? We're almost through this story. This is going to be the shortest sermon you have at the feast. We're almost there. Verse 34. "But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and then he blew the trumpet, and the Asbizrites gathered around him." So Gideon's like ready to take the next step. And he calls all the people of his tribe together. Why did he have the courage to do that? Because God's Spirit came on him. The same Spirit that's in you and me. The same Spirit that encourages us to come here. The same Spirit that encourages us to give people a hug and get to know new people and to set an example in Branson as we're learning and growing together. That Spirit came upon him in verse 35. "And he sent messengers throughout Manasseh, who also gathered behind him. And he also sent messengers to Asher and all over the place." And in verse 36, Gideon said to God, "If you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said," and you notice the verse pauses, God's probably like, "All right, we got another, what next, Gideon? I know you love me. Look, I shall put a fleece of wool on the threshing floor, and if there's dew on the fleece, but the ground is dry, I'll know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said." God, I knew you were powerful enough to protect me from the altar issue, but we're talking war here. Can you keep the fleece wet and the ground dry? And the Lord says, "Sure." So then Gideon comes back and said, "That was impressive, Lord. Now, can you keep the fleece dry and make the floor wet?" And the Lord says, "Sure," because he loves us. We all question the Lord every day in our lives. In our lives. I got a great story as we move forward here to tell you about someone who shared with me why the feast. It wasn't even planned, but okay, so we move forward. "And Gideon said to God, 'Do not be angry with me, but let me speak just once more.' And that's when he asked for the test. And then God said that night, it was dry and the fleece was there on the ground." So we're almost done. We're in chapter 7. This story is about to end. Turn to Judges 7 and look over the page at verse 9. We're ready to have the battle with the Midianites. God comes back to Gideon. "It happened on the same night. The Lord said to him, 'Arise and go down against the camp, for I've delivered it into your hands.'" And here's how much God loves us, the same that he loved Gideon. "But if you're afraid to go down to the camp with Purah, your servant. I know this is your buddy. This is your friend. This will help you have courage." We all have people in our lives that help us have courage when we need to follow God. And God knows that. And he encouraged him to do that. So what happens next in the story? Gideon sneaks down to the camp. He hears the Midianites telling a story about a dream. Crazy dream. "This giant loaf of bread came rolling down the hill and smashed all of our tents. Can you believe it?" And the other soldier says, "Oh, that's no loaf of bread. That's Gideon with his sword in his hand, and he's going to come down and clean our clocks." So Gideon hears all this, and he's like, "I'm finally ready to go." So he gets the trumpet. He tells everybody, "Do as I do, as I follow God." They blow the trumpets, and lo and behold, he doesn't even have to swing his sword. They're all so scared, they kill each other. I'm summing it up. We're summing up. Does Gideon seem like a man of faith? How many think Gideon seems like a very powerful man of God and a faithful man of God? Go ahead, raise your hands. Not many. How many feel like Gideon seems like a pretty good guy, but he's a human and he's a little nervous? How many put Gideon into that category? That's where I put him too. We all think about our lives. I've done some things to follow, to represent God and let my light shine. There's other times I'm like, nuts. I blew it. Not the trumpet. Just the situation. Hebrews 11. Go figure. God said three of our four messages go to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 verse 32. Important to read. And what more shall I say? Hebrews 11 verse 32. For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon. What? This is the faith chapter. And he wants to talk about Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, and also of David and Samuel, a friend of God. Gideon's mentioned in that same voice. That's how God views Gideon. So what about us? What about, put your name into this category. How does God view you? I guarantee if I ask, do you think you'd be in the faith chapter in the future if God adds to this book of the Bible? Probably no one would raise their hand. Because we see great deeds in the Bible that people have done. But what we don't realize is when we open ourselves to allow God to complete mighty works in us, we may be doing great deeds and not even realize it. I'm certain that many of the people in the Bible, at the time they were doing what they're doing, didn't think, I'm doing a great deed for God. You can do great deeds if you're 16, 17, 18, 19 years old, standing up for what is right. And it doesn't have to be a major presentation in front of the whole school, correcting everyone in the audience for underage drinking. You know, I'm just something crazy. No. You may stand up for something you believe and it may inspire someone else. As an older person with much experience, you don't have to pull a Samson move and set up every chair in the hall every weekend. No, you can change people's lives. So what about us? Let's look at 3 points with the remainder of the time we have, 3 quick points, to see how can we know we're allowing God to do mighty works through us. And we want to implement this right away. So point number one, this is about us. Ask God to show us how he's working in us. Ask God specifically, God, you know what I am. You know what I can bring to the table. Help me to see. Many of us who've been in the church for a long time do something well. I may be a piano player. As a minister, I may be the one who speaks. I may be the sound guy. I may have service things that I do. And it's easy to think that's my contribution. But what's the parable of the talents tell us? God gives us some talents, and then he wants us to build some talents. So if I'm very good at something, as I spend time serving God, part of what I want to do is teach someone else. Which is exactly why I got all the 25-year-olds on the stage crew to do all the lifting. I'm trying to share that opportunity. And I'm smart. I had knee surgery 5 weeks ago. God at least taught me to be wise in what I'm doing. When we ask God to show us how he's working in us, turn to Jeremiah 33. Jeremiah 33. God will answer our prayer. God will show us opportunities. Now, please don't mistake what I'm saying. The good works that we're doing, that's not bad. We should keep doing good works. But it's okay to ask God, what now? No matter what age we are, because he can use our experience and wisdom to help others. Jeremiah 33, verse 2. Thus says the Lord who made it, the Lord who formed it to establish it. The Lord is his name. God made everything. Call to me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. God can open our minds and show us things we never thought of. In Ephesians 3, verses 20 and 21, the Apostle Paul talks about this same thing. Ephesians 3, verses 20 and 21. Let's take a quick peek over there, because this is under asking God to show us how he's working with us. Ephesians 3, verse 20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, God gives us his Holy Spirit. To him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. God can do mighty things through us. Think of the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6. When we're praying the Lord's Prayer, aren't we encouraged to say, your kingdom come? So, well, that's why we're here. What's next? Your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Who has a part in doing God's will on this earth? Raise your hand if you think you have a part in doing God's will on this earth. If you didn't raise your hand because you do have a part in doing God's will on this earth. In any little space you have. If I'm a little kid, if I'm a child, if I'm 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, just being my parents' child, I'm inspiring my parents. Just being part of the family and showing love to your parents, you're doing that work. And I promise you, when you're good, you're doing the same for your grandparents too. When you're not being good, they're laughing and giving you back to your mom and dad. Saying they got what they deserved. We all have a part to do God's will on this earth. And we can't have the wrong fear. The sermonette taught us that. Gideon had the wrong fear. It's easy as human beings because we're in the physical world. Let's go on to point two. We're already to point two. First, we're going to ask God to show us how he's working in us. You all got that. Point two. Live an active life of faith. Live a life with active faith. I said it backwards. Live a life of active faith. We all have faith. There's a statement by a gentleman who's passed away, Zig Ziglar. Does anyone have ever heard of Zig Ziglar? I got to hear him live after he recovered from his first stroke. And he was up on stage, and it was a leadership convention back in Ohio. And he was talking about how his daughter and others said, Zig, you got to stop talking about God. You've had a stroke. You're older. You just need to take it easy. And here was the quote that Zig gave, and it's always been in my heart. I'm going to read it word for word. Zig said, I'm not going to give up, shut up, or let up until I'm taken up. And he paused, and he said, as a matter of fact, I'm just getting warmed up. I love that statement because there's so many days when my feet hit the floor and I'm not thinking about how beautiful are the feet that bring the truth of God to other people. I'm thinking about, these feet need to go back to bed for a couple days. Zig had the right approach. This is another day God gave me to do something. I got to get out there and give it a shot and do it. Turn to Psalm 119, verse 105. This scripture was already mentioned too. A beautiful scripture that talks about each day of our lives, even when we're having challenges. We don't have to be up and about. We can make huge differences. For everyone that's shut in, for everyone in the audience that prayed for the speaker today, thank you. You made a difference. I hope one was righteous, because they said the prayer of a righteous person can accomplish much. So as long as one righteous person prayed, we're in good shape. But I did have a backup. I told two of the stage guys, if the sermon's going badly and people are starting to sleep, run up here and tackle me. That'll shake everything up and we can move on. Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It doesn't do much good to have a lamp and a light to our feet and our path if we're sitting on the couch because we're not mighty, we're not wise, and we're not noble. We have a path to travel spiritually, and we have to keep traveling on that path. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We've heard that scripture a lot, but do we believe that we can do all things? Those of you that are here today, believe there was value to come. And the last scripture under this point I want to turn to, then I have two really good stories to share. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. We may be sitting in the audience and thinking, okay, Todd, this is good in principle. But what does God want me to do personally? Verse 9. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of a man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. God has something prepared for you today, not just in the millennium and beyond. He definitely has that prepared for us. We're hopeful. We're excited. We want to share that news. We're here to experience it. And it's nice if it feels closer while we're here, but it should feel close every day of the year. We believe this is coming. What can you do to do mighty acts of faith? Well, I have a story to tell. There's a woman in our church area, one of the most humble people you'll ever meet. And she was recovering, getting able to walk again. She had an issue where she was told by the people in the hospital, you'll probably never walk again. And she said, well, that may be true from your perspective, but I have God on my side, and I know I will be able to someday. That's not the story of faith. She actually walked again. That's amazing. So after she started getting better, she asked my wife, hey, can you come over to the house? I want to make food for somebody else who's having health issues, and I'd like to deliver it to them, and I can't drive. So my wife said, I'd be happy to do that. So they went and they made the food. And I'm pretty sure this story is accurate, but you know, I'm the storyteller, so here we go. But it's a true story. So they're driving to the gentleman's house to give him the food, and they pass a garage sale. And in the garage sale is a recliner. It's like $30. And this woman says to my wife, I really need a recliner because I can't really sit in my bed. And boy, that would sure be helpful. She's a widow. I would love to have that recliner. And Susie said, well, we can stop on the way back. She said, no, that's okay. My daughter and I will come back tomorrow, but this will be great. So they drive back. They deliver the food. The next day, she goes with her daughter. The recliner's gone. And she stopped, and the people said, oh, what? Can we help you? And she said, oh, I was going to get the recliner, but it appears it's been sold. And they said, yeah, we sold that yesterday. She said, oh, that's too bad. I could really use a recliner. You know what the people said? Funny you should mention that. We have a recliner in our basement. We weren't going to put it out. It's nicer than the other one, but we don't really need it. Would you like it? And the woman said, yes, how much would it cost? And they said, nothing. And she said, what a blessing. I'll make arrangements to pick it up. And they said, we can deliver it. We'd be happy to help you out. You're not that far away. What an act of faith that she had. And God delivered. Now, who did that inspire the most? Wow. I'm up here talking to you from the lectern. I'm inspired telling you the story about why can't I have that faith in my life? You all can do that same exact thing. Another act of faith. And I'm talking too loud and fast. Let me take a quick drink of water here. Apology. I always like to open these little bottles. Aren't they cute? I met some old friends here at the feast. I had forgotten they were going to be here, and I was talking to them just opening day. And we were talking about he's retired now. He was terminated 15 times in the construction work because of his faith for his job. And he kept finding more jobs. And here's the interesting story. I had to add it into my sermon. He said, you're not going to believe this, but I got this really nice job where other companies had to come and get jobs from us. I was the one that interviewed them. And a company came in and they said to me, you really look familiar. And he said, I should hope so. You laid me off because of the Sabbath. How awesome is that? Wouldn't you love to be in the catbird seat there? And what did those folks learn from him? He still let them quote the work. He didn't hold a grudge. And they recognized what the grace of God and what mercy looks like. What an act of faith that he performed. I never would have even known about that. Makes me think differently in my job where I have managers and people that report to them. And I always ask myself when someone does something that offends me, my wife laughs about this, whenever I start to get my feelings hurt because someone did something, I immediately learned after the age of 50, I wish I'd learned it sooner, to pause and say, God, when was the last time I did this to you? Right? You didn't keep your word. I thought you were going to do this, manager, and you didn't get it done, and now we have a problem. All right. I told you I was going to try to do this, Father, and I didn't, and you forgave me. It makes it a lot easier not to be angry at people when we think that way. Live an active life of faith. I appreciate these two people. Their stories might be in Hebrews someday. They might be in the Bible. They're amazing. Everyday stories. Third point, final point. We must understand the mighty works of God may not manifest themselves in our lifetime. Understand the mighty works God does through us may not manifest in your lifetime. You may never know the things that you do. I promise if I hadn't told those stories of those two people, they'd have no idea of how they can move other people with those stories. 1 Peter 2, verse 12. This is our last scripture. 1 Peter 2 and verse 12. It asks us to have our conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. People are going to remember the good works that you do, whether we get credit for it in this lifetime or not. As I was writing this sermon, I was thinking back. I remember, and by the way, my brother's here with me. He's 18 months older than me. And I was talking to him about it. I remember back when I was 4 years old coming to church. And there was an older gentleman by the name of John Carlson. Not the John Carlson that served in Germany, because he was my minister at one time too. But this was a very older gentleman. He was like in his 70s. And he brought candies in the pocket of his suit jacket. And he made sure the parents gave permission. But then again, this is back in 72, so eating candy wasn't as big a deal back then as it is in 2024, feeding kids candy. I was so excited to go to church and get a piece of candy from Mr. Carlson. I don't remember any of the messages from the time I was four. But to this day, in the kingdom, when I see John Carlson, I'm going to walk up and say, can I have a piece of candy? There were those really good, you remember the caramels that were like foil and they twisted on the ends and then there was like orange in the middle of them or something like that? Anyway, enough of that. That stayed with me. There was an elder by the name of Gerald Knockle. He's still alive. His wife since passed. He's in Illinois. I'm going to share with him since he's not here. They used to take us out as young teenage boys and say, let's go to a restaurant. So you can learn when you take girls out on a date how to go to a restaurant, how to order a meal, how to pay for the check. Now, they'd always pay for the check. They'd never give it to us. But just showed us how to do those things when we were 12 and 13 and 14 so we could do it right when we were 15, 16, 17, 18, and on group dates at church. And I remember one time Mrs. Knockle overheard me talking about how I loved not Oreo cookies, because back then Oreo cookies were anathema, right? We couldn't eat Oreo cookies. But there were other cookies. I forget what they were called. You guys probably remember in the audience. They were kind of like those. And I loved them so much. And she showed up at church and brought me a container of cookies out of the blue. Because they just loved people. And they loved kids. And here's another one that I'm going to tell you. I got two more here that I want to mention. They're one of the instructors that was at ABC. He's remained our friend for a long time. He's not here in Branson, Missouri. He's over in Italy this year. I think he's running the feast in Italy. Most of you know Aaron Dean. You've heard of him. He's now the Dean of Students at ABC for the United, which I love because I can call him Dean Dean. And every time I see him, I'm like, hey, Dean Dean, how's it going? We've kept a relationship with him, even though he was a faculty member. And just last year, he taught both of our daughters. Not just the same classes that he taught us at Ambassador, but other classes. And he wrote in my one daughter's yearbook, I believe you're actually smarter than both your mom and your dad. Which is true. She was the valedictorian of our class. I'm no dummy. I married the smart one. And didn't mess it up for 31 years. I'm pretty proud of that. And then one other name, one, I won't mention the name because the person would be embarrassed. But ever since I started in the ministry and actually giving sermons, there was someone in our congregation who I could count on that studied their Bible. And after a sermon would say kind things to me about, I appreciated that message. Hey, did you think about this? One time I mistakenly said Samson was married to Delilah. Samson actually had a first wife that he was married to that didn't work out. He wasn't married to Delilah. And the person brought that up to me. And I wasn't offended because of the way they communicated. And it made a difference knowing someone in the audience is paying attention to my sermon. And it inspired me to research better and make sure the sermons were accurate and inspiring and motivational. If this one's not, I'm very sorry. I tried for it to be. But you play a role in that space too. It builds faith. It builds faith. And it may not feel like a mighty act for you to be that type of person, but you are to other people. Just like the heroes of faith in the Bible, though, we all must keep moving forward. We can't pause. We can't wait. As Zig Ziglar said, we're not going to give up. We're not going to shut up. We're not going to let up until we're taken up. Now, we understand that we will sleep in the grave and then be resurrected at Christ's return. But the last part of his statement, as a matter of fact, we're just getting warmed up. So every day brings us a chance for God to do mighty work in us. Why not start now? If you want to do something small, sign a card. If you have the means, provide a stuffed animal. If we listen to what Mr. Wasilkoff said, get our hug count in. Let people know we care. When you're out in public, pray for the folks here at Presley's. Mr. Stephen John does all the sound for us. That man is as adaptable as Stretch Armstrong, that old toy that they used to have that you could stretch ever many places. We throw stuff at him every day. Just as one, I don't want to embarrass him. There's others, this Paul works very well. Say a prayer for those folks, that they're healthy and get good rest and all the good things they do. Why not start now? Our Father is waiting to do mighty things through us. All he needs is for us to allow him to do them.